Today, we're going to talk about X-Men.
X-Men?
X and men.
I'm confused.
Welcome to Cutthroat Cinema Podcast. I am your host, O.
And I'm your host, L.
If you'd like to follow us, please do so on Instagram.
You're confused.
I'm confused.
Okay. First of all, welcome to Cutthroat Cinema Podcast.
Obviously.
And, yes.
And I said that already.
Do we have to go right into the follow us?
Yes.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes. Oh. You can find me at O the Horror. That's double O-double-H the Horror. And you can find L at steel_lens_cinema.
Yeah, that's like steel lens cinema.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you can, of course, follow our main page at cutthroat_cinema. And follow us on Twitter at cutthroatsinpod.
Yeah. I'm also on Twitter now, finally.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To hell.
Yeah. I've heard it's like an abyss.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, yeah.
I run the Twitter portion of Cutthroat Sin Pod's podcast. And oh boy, I only go on there to post or to retweet some awesome horror news because, oh boy.
Yeah, I heard. Anyway, so...
So in case you couldn't tell from the title, we're going to be covering the, would we say controversial... new movie from Alex Garland.
Yeah, so why does everybody hate Alex Garland now?
Yeah, I don't know. So we're going to be talking about Men. We're also going to be talking about Ty West's X. We saw Men recently, so we'll start with that one.
Oh, X-Men.
Yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm. How clever.
So funny.
Yeah. Did you like X and Men?
I actually really enjoyed X a lot. It combined two things that I feel like maybe... like. Doing a sexploitation horror was obviously something that was like very common in the 70s and 80s, but to have like a movie specifically focused on the aspects of sex and a horror movie, I just thought it worked really well together. As far as Men is concerned, I have my issues with mm-hmm. it. I didn't hate it the way so many people do right now, because there's a lot of like dislike going on for it, but I'll get a little bit more into that as we explain it. I enjoyed the first half and I thought the second half fell apart kind of person.
I really enjoyed the film.
Which one, X or Men?
Men. X, I was a little bit more with it. I think you were like the opposite opinion of the films. Though X, it's been a while since I've seen it, so it's not that fresh in my mind, where Men is more fresh in my mind, but... Men is definitely a film where I tell people, when you see it, like, don't have an impulse reaction to it. Definitely let it linger in your mind for a little bit, because I feel too many people are having like an impulse reaction.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's definitely a film that I think you should let. Well, first of all, it's lingered on my mind since we've seen it a week ago, I think.
Has it been a week?
Yeah, more than a week.
Oh.
Yeah, actually. And the more it lingers on your mind, I think you'll appreciate it a little bit more or hate it more.
Or you might hate it more, let's be honest.
But I think a lot of people's reaction has been to impulse hate, you know?
So, for weird reasons, too.
Yes, definitely for multiple reasons. And, well, weird reasons and, like, logical reasons, I guess, for the most part. But it is film, it is cinema, and it is interpretive, right?
Yeah, you can interpret it however you want to.
So I think some people maybe for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But
I'll read the description of the movie and then we'll kind of delve into...
Sure, go ahead.
What happens, what we like, what we didn't like. A young woman goes on a solo vacation to the English countryside following the death of her ex-husband. So the movie has like three actors
in it. Yeah, literally.
It has...
Almost for the most part two only, but yes, there's the third.
For the most part, right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's Jesse Buckley, who plays the main character of Harper. Yeah, she was. That's one of the parts I liked for
yes,
sure.
Yes, mm-hmm.
There's Rory Kinnear, who plays every other character in the movie.
Who was fantastic.
I yeah, mm-hmm. he was great. No, mm-hmm. he was fantastic.
I thought they were both great. Actually.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. absolutely. And then there's a couple of short scenes with the ex-husband, Papa Esidu, and then pretty much that's it. She talks to her friend on like face calls and. It's
and then she makes one appearance.
And then she makes like one appearance at the yeah. very end.
Well, spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll try to do a little bit non-spoilish, I guess.
Because it's newer, but we'll probably go into spoilers.
Yeah. There's not much. And if you haven't watched the movie, I recommend you watch the movie before listening to this, because I find the movie to be something really different from what's out there. I mean, for the final act, it definitely turns into like a slasherish type film for a little bit.
I don't think it turns slasher, but it does turn body horror.
Yeah, body horror.
There's a difference.
It does have like a slasher aspect in terms of a chase scene, sort of. But definitely the first and second act were purely like, I had like my heart pounding for certain scenes.
So I have to say, mm-hmm. as far as buildup is concerned, the first half of Men has probably some of the best buildup I've ever seen in a horror movie, where I was like nervous. I was like, I reverted back to my high school ways of like maybe slightly covering my face because I was expecting something to pop out. Yeah, and like,
I remember saying to you, I go, oh shit, is she really going in there? You know, like,
yeah, they're really good at building suspense.
What I liked about this movie, too, like, you know, you'll say, oh, why is she going in there? Like, first of all, she doesn't know she's in a horror movie, right? When you're watching like Scream and stuff, you're like, oh, look, they're running up the step, right? Scream makes fun of itself, obviously. But she obviously doesn't know she's in a horror movie. She's on vacation, right? She's trying to get over trauma.
Yeah.
Or get away from like
just. Do you want to explain a little bit what happened? Like, we can realistically sum up the movie quickly and then go into.
Well, the movie does a good job of like not revealing everything all at once. It makes you think a little bit, like, because it shows you she's looking out the window and someone falls from above, right? So right away you're meant to think
that's how it starts, which yes. Actually I have an issue with.
Okay, well, we'll get into it. So
into it.
Well, yes, I meant like your full opinion of what you think is happening. So I guess right off the bat you're meant to think, oh, is that her husband, boyfriend, did he have an accident, did he kill himself? I think your interpretation, if you're, you know, smart moviegoer, common sense, he killed himself.
All right. So, and my take on that was the movie tends to flash back quite a bit to her relationship with her ex-husband throughout the movie. And you learn more as the movie goes. That scene is repeated again, not too far into it. So it just seems odd to open it on that and then jump to her driving through the countryside. Maybe just start with her driving through the countryside and then go through what you were going to go through anyway. Because one of the first scenes that they show of the flashback after you see him, you know, jumping to death and driving through the countryside and like maybe build up the fact that you don't know why she's there by herself, but why she's being called Mrs. like Harper, or mm-hmm. whatever the last name was. Is because, and like, you know, then she calls her friend and you're like, oh, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, I just say like he's not coming. And there's like some mystery there. Mm-hmm. But you obviously know what happened from the beginning of the movie. She saw her husband kill himself.
It also shows she has a bloody nose.
It shows she has a bloody nose, so you're assuming she gets that at some point prior to that incident. Mm-hmm. And then the first time you see them again on screen together, she's sitting there arguing with him because she wants a divorce, and he doesn't want her to leave. And he says, I'm going to kill myself if you leave me. Like standard classic fucking terrible manipulative behavior, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, from the man.
So mm-hmm. you know what she's dealing with, right? So I feel like that would have been a really good start, you know, or maybe start with that scene as opposed to the killing himself scene.
I think I agree with you. The start off should have been just driving through the countryside. Yeah. But leave it a little open to interpret why she's there. Like, we don't know what's going on yet. She's just going to the countryside. But regardless of that, we're not here to say what they should have done, what Alex Garland could have done. It's just, that's the
scenario. Just feel like it would have been an improvement. Like, it's just a personal choice. Some people might mm-hmm. love that opening.
Yeah, I mean, it's his choice, right? He's the director and the writer, I believe. Right?
Yeah, I think
so. Is he the writer? Yeah. He writes a lot of stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, he was an author first.
Yeah. So what I liked, right? I felt terrified at certain points for her. Like we were saying, my heart was pounding during certain scenes. There's the incident.
Why are we terrified for her? She's mm-hmm. by herself.
She's by herself in the country.
In the countryside with this big, huge property where mm-hmm. she goes exploring. It's in the woods. So you're like, holy shit, what are you doing?
While she's walking through like this tunnel, right? And I've seen movies with tunnels, absentia. She, you know, she does this little echoing, right?
Yeah.
She does this little singing like this.
Yeah, and the echoes.
It echoes, which was like beautiful, but like creepy
and
at
haunting.
The same time. Yeah, it was haunting. Like
the visuals in this are gorgeous.
The two,
just, you know.
Two things that stand out for sure in this movie, the cinematography and the score, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, beautiful, beautiful visuals, sound. Like, I loved it. Throughout the whole movie, like, not just, like, the first and second act, even the third act, everything is just haunting. The music, the cinematography, the score, everything was just wow, wow, wow. That's all I kept saying. And then we come across what appears to be one of the, or the catalyst for some of the events, this naked man.
Yeah. And she catches him, like, by this, like, what looks like an abandoned, like, railroad track station. And she's walking through it. She already saw someone on the other side of the tunnel. And she sees them start sprinting toward her. But she also hears a yelling. And then the yelling echoes closer and closer and closer to her. So she, you know, smartly sprints in the other direction.
Yeah, and it's a contrast to her, like, doing her... echoing, right? And then you have the echoing of the man, right? Or the men coming back at her. And it's just like this contrast of her, like, beauty, right? And her femininity versus this darker evil or this thing that's terrifying her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creepy. It made me feel uncomfortable for her right then and there.
Yeah, I do appreciate this because there is a level, and I'm sure Alex Garland knew what he was doing in terms of this. There is some level of already being, even when she first shows up to the mansion, right? The man who's talking to her is very nice to her, maybe a little too nice, right? Very white knightish, as you find out later on in the movie. But the man,
Rory Kinnear,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Who's, again, fantastic in every role. But she's there by herself. So there is this element of, you know, as a girl, you may have this, you may not. But anytime I go somewhere alone and I know I'm going to be there alone overnight, or if I'm going to be there and I'm, you know, I have no one around me who knows me or can't get a hold of me and I can't get a hold of them, you immediately get this anxiety. And it's sad to say, but, like, you know, bad people are out there, right? Girls are sometimes more careful. And, you know, you walk home at night by yourself, you hear a noise, you put your keys in your fingers because you're concerned something might happen, right? So I think Alex Garland plays on this paranoia that women have. But for her, it's a form of freedom, right? She's okay with being alone. She's okay with being without her husband. And later on, you find out why she's okay without her husband.
She also doesn't really take any precaution in the movie.
Yeah, which, like, is also...
which you find out later on, like, her friend that she's Skyping with or whatever, like, you know, a little, like, obviously, spoiler, she says, oh, grab the axe and kill him. Like,
if anybody comes in,
she's like, what axe? So even though she's walking through this house, she doesn't know there's an axe to chop wood, like, lying right there. When she goes out into the woods, like, no precaution, no nothing. Like, I'm sorry. Like, even me as a man, when I go to cabins, right, I'm always... like, I have a flashlight, right? I have an axe in the car. I know where the exits are in the cabins, like in the woods, because it's secluded.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
we've seen enough horror movies to be scared.
And that's a joke I'll always say. I was like, I'm sorry. I've seen enough horror movies to know, like, you don't just go into this blindly. And you never know when someone... And it's so funny because I remember going with two friends who were girls. And I'm like, there's some dude walking down the pathway there and we're by ourselves here. Grab the axe.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah. So, like, that she just takes no precaution. It's like, you know, and part of me is like, why is she doing this by herself? Why is she not taking any precaution? And she may feel part of herself is like, I'm just free. I could do it. Like you were saying, I'm just free. I could do whatever mm-hmm. I want. It's so beautiful. And it is beautiful. Like,
it's gorgeous. I would 100%
stay
there.
It's part of the, you know, the environment she's in. It's all nature, right? And that's, like, I guess part of who I guess the creature monster man is in the movie, like this green man, this monster.
Yeah, he's naked most of the time, and then he, like, cuts himself and puts, like, leaves in his body.
But like, we're jumping ahead to that, but that was just, like, one thing I wanted to say. Like, she takes no precaution, and when we're getting back to Rory Kinnear, right? Like, even when she first
arrived. It's just one thing that I want to talk about before we jump to Rory Kinnear, who's fantastic, by the way. There is, and you know, it depends on where you stand on this, but there is this sense of like, well, if you're by yourself, and especially for, you know, women, I hear this over and over again. If you're by yourself walking alone at 2 a.m, you shouldn't have to take precaution because, you know, men, because if you're a woman, men should just not attack you, not try to assault you, not try to talk to you when you're by yourself, not do any of that. And while in an absolutely ideal world, that is the case, you can't rely on that because bad people are everywhere, right? Like, there are plenty of good people too who will come to your aid and who will help you, but there's also bad people just everywhere and you can't control that. So that's why it's like interesting to see this perspective of she's a woman by herself. She's not taking any precautions because she's like, well, I can just be alone and it's not an issue. But inherently, when you're raised and as a girl or a boy, because again, our mom would constantly tell us, like, who are you going with?
Yeah.
Are you going by yourself? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be there? Are the boys going to be there? Are they going to be, you know, like, adults? Like, who's going to be there? Because you always have this instinct of, well, if I'm by myself, I'm more vulnerable. And you definitely feel that for her, even if she doesn't feel it for herself right away. But she eventually does. But go ahead.
Yeah. She eventually comes to her senses, I guess. Or somebody makes her come to her senses.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know you brought up Rory Kinnear, like white knighting for her, and you're
the first character he plays is the mansion owner. Yeah.
Yeah. And but even him though, like he's white knighting, like he makes her feel in a way uncomfortable, right? Like he makes a comment when she arrives there, she grabs the apple from the tree and takes a bite out of it, and he makes a comment like, you're not to touch those, and even though he's joking, it's still
It's like you're the only two people there. You're telling her she shouldn't do something.
Right. And then he jokes about it, but then says, you know, make sure you're not flushing any womanly products down the toilet. Like it's, come
yeah,
on,
like,
man.
I mean,
come at me.
It's just, I mean, in a weird way, it would make sense for him to be like, hey, just like don't flush any tampons down the toilet because it could clog up the works. But
it's done in a way in the film. Like, because she gives him, like, a look, like, I know, not to put
tampons
but
in the...
at the same time, some people do flush things down the toilet. So even though it's like, hey, just keep it in mind, like, it's just the way it comes across. And still, do you want to talk about how throughout the whole film... Well, and obviously, so going into the story, Rory Kinnear obviously plays all the characters... all the men in the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the house owner to the police officer to the priest to a kid who obviously has like a digitally altered Rory Kinnear face, though he's on a kid's body, but he's meant to look older, which is kind of awkward.
Yeah.
And he's obviously the naked man or the green man, which is like the...
He's pretty much every other man in the movie except her ex-husband.
Yes. And he is every man in the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the purpose, I don't know what the purpose of it is. It definitely adds to the creep factor and it adds to the creepy ambiance that the movie has. But
It's never addressed.
Mm-hmm. So she's seeing different dudes, right? Because that's what you have to take from it. She's seeing different dudes. When she sees the kid with the weird face who calls her a stupid bitch for not wanting to play with her. When she sees the priest who's, you know, being like, weirdly, like, touchy with her.
Well, he's, like, in feeling like she seduced him because he's...
a man of God. And, literally, when he first sees her, though, she's screaming in the fucking church because she's remembering...
The suicide and the assault, I think.
He punched... So they keep flashing back. And essentially, the story unfolds as he's a manipulative fuck. Mm-hmm. The ex-husband, and he is trying to get her to stay by saying he'll kill himself if he doesn't. So she's getting scared. So she goes upstairs and she texts her friend, and he sees it and he grabs her phone. He tries to get her to open it again, and when she won't, he punches her in the face, and she gets up from that and she's like, well, that's the fucking last straw, right? Because yeah, girl. You tell him to get the fuck out. But because she kicks him out and locks him out, he goes up to the next floor, rushes through someone's apartment to try to climb down from the balcony, slips and falls. But realistically, he could have just killed himself. But he kind of looks surprised, too, as he was falling.
Well, that's the... I guess in a way, like the ambiguity of it, did he fall? Did he kill himself? Regardless, because like the priest confronts her, trying to put the blame on her. Like
yeah.
That it's, you know, you could have just let him apologize and he'd still be alive. So, which was like such a dirtbag thing to
say.
Do. But it, I guess the movie's trying to show a look at it in
how like men. Blaming the victim.
Yeah. That it's her fault.
And that men should be able to hit women. It's not a capital crime.
Right. And this just goes to show you, it throws in, like, I guess, Catholicism into the mix, right? By showing, one, like, men hitting women. Like, back in the day, it was, like, allowed. Two, like, her seduction of the priest, right?
Which is also very, like, Adam and Eve. Right. She ate the apple. Right.
It's all
heavily
it's,
influenced by Catholic dogma.
It's obviously all thrown in there to show, like, religious beliefs. But you also see in, like, the church and throughout the movie, the symbols of, like, the green man, I guess, the naked man, this forest...
Creature. Very folklorish almost. Yeah, like a combo of the two.
Yeah, so you have these different... I don't know, it's folklore, like, pagan stuff, too, and things like that. So you have...
Sometimes.
Yeah, you have... different type of religious beliefs and stuff mixed all in together, which I liked as well. So, and these were things, and I liked, and back to like addressing or not addressing that she doesn't see all of them as the same man, that the cop, the homeowner, the landowner, the men in the bar, the naked man, even the priest, to her, and so we, the audience, see that it's all the same men. She doesn't, which, again, it's left ambiguous. Are you, is it to be like, oh, look, all men are terrible people? Or, I mean, and this, again, I guess you can interpret it anyway. Is she under some sort of, like, influence? Was even the first apple she ate influencing her? Is it the environment she's in, the forest she's in, the countryside she's in? Or is it just to interpret it like, oh, look, he's trying to make it like all men can be seen the same way, right? Like, they're all jerks, I guess, right? Or they're all abusive.
But then, hold on.
At the same time, look who was the one that hit her, treated her terribly. It was her husband, who doesn't look like any of them. So... I feel like, in a way, he shows, oh, look, they're all the same men. Look how they're behaving. But at the same time, her husband doesn't look like those men. So,
but I think technically, there's a thing that happens toward the end of the movie that men being born of men are all the same, no matter what they look like, that all men do this and that all men have this. Even if they're not that way, have this ability to be that way.
But,
and it's one of these things where you could see it as just that, or you could see it as her dealing with all those men and all those versions of the same guy are her husband.
Do you want to say what happens?
We'll get to it after. Mm-hmm. But all those versions of that man are the same guy. They are the same as her husband. And it doesn't matter what they look like. She's just using them as, or seeing them as a representation of everything he did to her to get past her trauma that he put her through. Because, and this is where the movie kind of like, for me, fails. So once the thing in the house starts, so she's, again, all the stuff that's built up to it is really good. Really fantastic, like, I don't want to say ambiance. It's a really good build-up. Suspense. Yeah, like, they build the suspense really fantastic in the first half of this movie. And then the second half, or, like, the third act or whatever...
Yeah, the third act, I was like,
kind of just falters for me. And it's essentially... She goes to the bar to get a drink because she's, like, upset about, you know, the naked guy and... The interaction with the priest.
The priest thing really sets her off.
So then she goes there to the bar. She gets dismissed by the landowner because she wants to pay for her own drink. And he's like, no, your money's no good here. And white knighting it again until, you know, his balls are blue. Like, you know, he's just, and then the cop comes in and she's like, he's like, we let him go. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Like, he wasn't harming anyone. He didn't steal anything.
Even though he tried to break into the house. Right. And you don't know what he would have done. Yeah. But
very like,
which really upsets her and triggers her to leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like the bartender's the only one who didn't really do anything, but the bar like patrons kind of leer at her mm-hmm. and make her feel uncomfortable. And, you know, so she's walking back and then the whole third act happens where like she's being chased and she's, you know,
but I have to say, right. Go ahead. Like, cause I still don't think it falls apart at that moment. Cause it was still very like, she bumps into the, like the, out of nowhere, the naked man, the green man, whatever, the forest creature, like she encounters him and he blows like a pollen.
So first she goes back to the house.
So, okay. But like all of that was still very like suspenseful up and until, frightening.
I mean, it's suspenseful because it seems like she's going to be attacked by all these guys at once.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But
they all keep appearing.
But they appear alone. So they're, mm-hmm. so they're not all together at once. They keep appearing by themselves, which again, I guess is some sort of, I don't know. This is where I start to have a lot of issues with the movie. And I understand symbolism. I understand metaphor. I understand showing characters who want to work through something. For God's sake, that's in both of Alex Garland and other movies, Ex Machina and Annihilation, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's working through trauma. Everybody's working through guilt. Ex Machina has two very polar opposite examples of like toxic men, right? Mm-hmm. Like the headstrong
Oscar Isaac,
you know, possessive fuckface, right? And then
drunk who just right. like, he bangs his like cyborgs, his AIs.
And, yeah, and he's possessive. Of, mm-hmm. And then the guy who's like, you know, a simp and will do anything.
Well, wasn't
and
he going through trauma in that movie? Didn't he like have an accident or lost his wife or something? I can't remember.
It's been a long time since I've seen it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then he gets trapped. And then like, who knows if there's some, you know, whatever. But yeah, Alex Garland obviously knows how to infuse metaphor really well into his movies. I just feel like it fell apart for me because he was trying too hard to be a little pretentious. And I think that's my issue. Realistically. Mm-hmm. The end is essentially...
well,
Do you want to say it?
Well, hold on. I still want to say like...
Go ahead.
Because there were things... So I was actually feeling like... afraid for her. I still thought the suspense was being built up nicely.
Me too, up to a point. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then when the homeowner is there and she opens the door, I think with a knife, right? And it's him. He's like, what's going on? And she's like, oh, you know, they're trying to get me. They're trying to break in. And he's like, nonsense, you know? And he goes looking for her, for whoever's on the property. Like you said, still like white knighting for her. And then he disappears and she tries to look around for him. The creature shows up and blows pollen into her mouth, basically. Again, like the visuals, like it just really like captivated me. And maybe I'm a little biased because I was enjoying like the visuals so much. So maybe I'm a little biased.
You are a visual whore.
Yes. Visual and sound whore. I am.
Quite a bit.
Yes. But that doesn't explain me disliking Star Wars. I did it.
I knew you were going there.
You know that Ex Machina is, I think, won Oscar for best visual over Star Wars. I'm very happy about that.
That's interesting. Wasn't he in both?
Oscar Isaac?
No, both of them.
In Star Wars.
They both were.
And Ex Machina did it with like a shoestring budget. So what does that say, right? Anyway,
having a decent story helps. Go ahead. Let's talk about.
Yes. Okay. And it obviously
stop it.
It overwhelms her and it gets her like in a trance, right? So which I found very intriguing. Also, that she's now. It prevents her from leaving the house because it just gets her back into the house. And now the creature tries to attack her and she manages, which again, with the symbolism, manages to come out of the trance somewhat, stab it in the arm, and it pulls its arm out and kind of creates a vaginal wound which is again mm-hmm. the visual and
not just that. So it's also again supposed to be, so yeah, it's like vaginal ish and oh boy, there's a whole lot more about that to happen.
Yeah.
But, it also is a correlation between, cause there's a moment where she like escapes for a little bit and runs over the white knight, landowner guy, and hurts his leg. So his like foot is cracked and his hand has the split in it.
Yeah, but
so it becomes the literal visual representation of what her ex-husband looked like after he jumped to his death, which is his hand was split on on like one of the gates and his leg was like backwards.
Yeah, but first she slices the hand open.
Yes, and first you see that, and then every
of
other
will
them
attack them, and mm-hmm. then the final part of where she runs over the landowner, and then you get the full broken leg and split hand of her husband, mm-hmm. which was very disturbing.
Yeah.
And I also, so do you want to tell the part of the, as she's finally being.
Sure.
Cause the landlord eventually.
She's harassed
doesn't she.
So she's being harassed in the house by almost every character. The kid shows up first after the creature gets its arm split. The kid shows up and is fucking with the bird that the landowner killed. And I don't even remember how she like disposes of him. I think she stabs him or kills him. I'm not sure. But then he's gone. And then the guys try to run into the house and you see their hands and she's running to the bathroom. And then the vicar is there, the priest, and he tries to sexually assault her. And it's very disturbing. And he even like uses his vagina hand to, to fucking like choke hold her. And it's again, odd and weird.
It's very gross and disturbing.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. A little talky, but it's very gross and disturbing. And then as she tries to leave and get out of the house, she is manages to make it to her car, starts driving away, hits the landowner, and then stops.
She was so close.
She stops because she's worried about him, because technically, even though he has been like white knighting, he has been the only one who's been like kind to her. Mm-hmm. So she stops because she's worried she killed him. And then he like rips her out of the car and steals the car. Mm-hmm.
And then chases her back to the house.
When she starts getting back on the land.
Isn't it the green person, the monster that comes out of the car?
So it's the naked guy who's now transformed into this green creature because of all the leaves. And he starts giving birth from his between his legs, and a full grown man comes out, but it's literally the full grown versions of each of the men we've seen so far, and that lasts like 10 minutes. That's 10 minutes of the runtime.
Okay. And every time it gives birth, it's still giving birth with the injuries of each character of the initial character of the sliced vaginal arm and
broken foot
of her ex-husband, which is clearly though like coming from her mind, like it reads her mind and knows all the injuries, because it's technically like it's all symbolism from technically the injuries sustained
that she saw from her ex-husband
her ex-husband, even though it was the knife through the arm, even though it was the injury through the car accident, it's still all a visual symbolism of the death of the suicide or accident of her husband to like either traumatize her more or, you know, this lingering thoughts on her mind. I really don't know, but like, I don't know about you. Did you notice though, like, I don't know, each one of them was more
graphic than the next,
but each version of the man seemed more, I don't want to say like inadequate at functioning than the prior one, up until the final version was her husband.
Yeah, like a lot of them were like crawling because they're in pain, because like they're literally carrying an entire human, like an entire full grown human in them. So it's like,
I don't know. Like there's so much symbolism in it. And you can like read it any way you want.
You
like,
really can.
You can read it like, oh, look, like the man is giving birth to the man. But at the same time, look how like poorly executed each birth is. And you can look at it like,
It's cyclical. Look at this man creating trauma for this next man, creating trauma for this next man, creating trauma for this
thing. Or look how he can't function technically without a woman giving the birth. Like, you could, I guess you could look at it in so many ways. Like, it can't function without the woman, you know? Like,
yeah, and then it's just, and it's grotesque. And then finally, like, the final piece of the puzzle, which is the husband is born out of the final Rory Kinnear. and then they just sit next to each other, and she's
who,
like,
who obviously doesn't look anything like Rory Kinnear,
obviously. And it's like, you know, he just sits there, and he's like, I just wanted you to love me. And she's like, I know. And then it cuts to the next morning.
Yeah, and her friend shows up,
who's pregnant.
Who's pregnant? Yeah,
which you don't know throughout the entire movie. Every time she talks to her, which I guess is like another sim. Like, is she concerned for her friend? Like, that she's got to do it alone. It, like, she's alone now. It's, again, I think here's my overall deal with the movie. I really enjoyed the suspense. I really enjoyed pretty much the first, you know,
two acts,
right? Because it was really good at building suspense. And then you're kind of just let down in the third because...
Well, you were let down.
I was let down in the third. Not you. You enjoyed the whole thing. Yeah. But I was let down mostly because... There's no, and I'm not saying that every movie needs to have a satisfying ending, because that's not real life, right? And this movie is supposed to be a metaphor for how certain men act, or all men act. It really is up to interpretation. But I feel like it gets too bogged down in that symbolism to even kind of make sense. And again, I understand doing stuff that's like an interpretation of, you know, however you want to see it, the Bible, the how men treat women, how women deal with trauma, how women deal with pregnancy, how men have control over women's bodies when they shouldn't, how, like, it's 100 different ways to look at it. And I just, I don't want to say it weirds me out, but it's like, it seems like it's just been the same thing over and over again for the last few years, and that Alex Garland is better than this in terms of, like, if you're gonna tackle something like, let's say this is what it is, toxic masculinity, right? If you're gonna tackle that subject, find another way to do it. Like, it's so over the head at some, like, hits you over the head at some point, and then it just kind of turns into this, like, oh, body horror, pregnancy, pretentious shit at the end.
I found it when the, like, when the friend showed up pregnant, to me, again, it made sense in the sense that this creature was able to read her mind, right? Like, it was generating from her, right? The fact that her friend is pregnant, the fact that it was able to see her thoughts and everything that she fears or remembers, kind of, like, manifested in, like, this horror for her. So I enjoyed it. But, you know, like, it's funny how you bring up toxic masculinity, because what I've noticed with this movie now is that when it's funny how we said everybody hates Alex Garland now. I've seen a lot of female reviewers now going back and shitting on Annihilation and Ex Machina because of this film.
I will say one thing, and this is something I've noticed in the past, and I see it a little bit less here, but I don't know why so many people have an issue with his other movies now all of a sudden because of this movie. Alex Garland definitely isn't afraid to write flawed characters in general, which I do appreciate, because I don't like characters who are like, oh, I'm fucking perfect at the beginning and at the end and, you know, whatever. Now, I would say that in each movie, you know, he especially writes flawed female characters, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. You know,
Annihilation is a perfect example.
What was the girl's name next month? Ava? Eva?
Maybe.
I don't remember. I can't remember.
I haven't seen either of those movies in some time. But
yeah, Ex Machina, I think 2014, 2015.
Yeah, I haven't.
But
we should definitely do a Alex Garland rewatch.
Oh, for sure. I'm down. Whenever you want to. And even rewatch Men.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
I pre-ordered it already.
Okay, perfect.
It's not out yet. I'm lying.
But no, like...
It's so weird because you can pre-order Top Gun and the movie just opened. I don't understand.
So the girl in that is manipulative, right? But she's doing it for, like, her own reasons, right? Because, like, sometimes it's shitty, but if you're going to leave a bad situation, sometimes you have to become the manipulator too, right? Like, it's not great, but, like, they showcase that. And then
But is she manipulative, or is it programming? Who knows, right? But she's AI, so who knows, right?
So then Annihilation's one of these, like, you know, that you have people, you know, dealing with trauma, dealing with grief, dealing with cancer and cheating, and like the none of the characters guilt and none of the characters in the movie are perfect. And I actually, like, I would say of the three, Annihilation is probably one of my favorite ones, right?
Because I really enjoyed Annihilation.
And then the creepy, like, body horror, and like the like you see the
Annihilation was really, like, creepy. And
it, it
like,
really I, was. And I then really the scene it. With the movie, screaming and the, like, bear. Bombed. Yeah,
that movie didn't even get, I think, a theatrical release in the U.S.
I feel like we mention Annihilation in almost every fucking episode. I'm not even joking.
I think we talk about it because of, like, when we talk about, like, female leads and people, like, complaining there's not enough. And then you, like, oh, go and look. But then when you mention Annihilation, like, people are like, what's that?
Yeah.
You know?
In this movie, too, I wouldn't say she's flawed, except for maybe the fact that she feels guilt over her ex-husband's death, even though she shouldn't feel guilt, maybe.
But and then this is where I'll bring up stuff like, and this is not just for men or female or women, we're human,
right? No,
you,
I agree.
You'll feel guilt for things that you may have not even been responsible for, you know?
That's, like, true.
So
there are things that are, and, like, I guess it depends on how you grew up, right? Because there are things that happen that are 100% completely out of your control. You had no way of knowing that it was going to happen. But you still cannot help but feel a sense of guilt over it.
Like, religion even teaches you that.
I mean, yeah, I went to Catholic school for like fucking forever.
Yeah, like, so, and I'll mention it again, right? In this movie, and there's people, like, bashing the movie, saying, like, why should she even feel guilty and stuff like that? Like, she's Catholic.
Yeah, people are, like, saying that, like, she's written poorly. I don't think she's written poorly at all. I know we said Rory Kinnear is great in the movie, but she's fucking fantastic in the movie, too. Mm-hmm.
And you feel her, like, you... I admired where he took the character. And again, I don't feel like she shouldn't feel guilt in it, in the sense that...
Sometimes you can't help it.
Yeah, you're raised a certain way, and... Why wouldn't you feel guilt for someone you've been married to who died, you know, in a certain, like, incident that you were involved in?
She, like, also then you'll said, always, right.
You'll always think back, like, what could I have done differently to change the outcome of something?
That's,
like,
why she gets so mad at the priest for saying, did you even let him apologize after he punched you in the face?
Yeah.
Like she's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. First of all, it doesn't even have to necessarily be that. It could have been like, what could I have done prior to that situation to change the outcome of his death, not like their divorce or anything like that.
Realistically, nothing, right?
Right. But like, it could have been, what if, like, I've always said to myself, like, what if I just wasn't in the house that day when something happened, you know, like, and it could have avoided, like, that could be the type of guilt she's feeling, you know, like, maybe he'd still be alive. Not that she did something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just think a certain way. And of course, and again, religion's a bitch.
Yeah, sometimes it is. It really is.
So, I, no matter what, I understand where you're coming from, and I understand where other people coming from. But I think, again, a lot of people just had a very impulsive judgment on this movie.
I let it sit for a few days. Yeah. I really did. Because
did you hate it? Were you hating it when you first saw it?
Yes.
And then did it calm a little bit after you thought about it?
I. By the end of the movie, I thought I didn't like the entire movie.
Okay.
Because of the ending.
The ending.
Mm-hmm. And sitting on it a few days, I'm like, you know, there was a lot of really good shit in that movie. And this is why, you know, sometimes it's great to do a review right away. Sometimes it's not. Having sat on it for a few days, or like about a week, I know that the fucking, like, first two thirds of the movie are just, like, really interesting and like super suspenseful, and you're so worried for her, but she's like, you're enthralled in this beautiful mansion and what she's going through and what she's dealing with and her relationship with the ex-husband and everything. And then the ending just kind of falls apart for me. And not even just because of, like, the toxic masculinity stuff. Whatever.
Yeah, you weren't crazy about the body horror.
I love body horror. Mm-hmm. It's just... It kind of went nowhere and it felt useless to the story. And if the... And I think the ending... And again, I don't mind ambiguous endings. I think the ending is meant to be like, did she really go through any of that? Like, because you see blood there and you're not sure...
She had blood on herself, didn't she?
She had blood on herself. Yeah. You know, like,
I'm pretty sure it... Something happened.
Something might have
maybe
happened.
Maybe she just killed the homeowner.
Oh, maybe.
It's
possible.
You know what movie didn't change my mind after we reviewed it right away after seeing it?
What?
Halloween Kills.
Yeah. Fuck that movie. Evil Dies Tonight.
Evil Dies Tonight. I'm not really that excited. I'm not excited at all for Halloween Ends. I mean.
Me neither.
I mean, we'll see it because we only watched the.
Yeah, yeah. We know we're going to watch it.
We know we're going to watch it. Who are we fucking kidding? You know, I hope he gets axed in that movie.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Stupid.
All right, so let's transition.
Yeah, that's a good transition.
Let's transition. Yeah, so, I loved.
You know what I loved about the movie? The nudity.
Of course. Of course you did. I love the cast.
I thought the cast was excellent.
I love the almost consistent homages to like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and like the, you know, sexploitation horrors of the 70s and 80s. And I also just think the premise is clever. Like, again, you're constantly seeing things with, oh, well, we're you know, a bunch of 20-somethings at a campsite and we're just hanging out. We hear creepy things happening in the woods. Let us fuck.
Mia Goth and Brittany Snow, like, really stole the show.
Brittany Snow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't want to say this is a Megan Fox level situation where I've only come to appreciate her like acting and comedy and things like that now because I used to hate her. Because I've never hated Brittany Snow, but I've like kind of never thought about her, right? Like she was in Pitch Perfect. She was in a couple of things I watched.
From Pitch Perfect, I think.
And that's really been it. And mm-hmm. she was a fucking scene stealer in this movie.
And not just because of her nudity.
And
no, she was excellent.
She's gorgeous, obviously.
Yeah, she is gorgeous.
But she's funny and she's open with her sexuality.
Yeah,
and
she was great. She was.
She was amazing.
And I really liked Kid Cudi, I think is that his name?
Kid Cudi. Yeah.
He was fantastic.
He was so good.
Yeah, he was just like, he belongs in the 70s, right?
Oh,
like
that motherfucker belongs in the 70s.
He channeled like 70s porn
beautifully.
And not just porn. Like he could probably be like 70s like style movies. Like he was just like fantastic.
Yes.
And I mean, not that she was like the weakest, but I mean, Jenna Ortega was like decent in it, but I know like people like I thought she should have been the main in Scream 5. The main character.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Yeah, like I didn't like the main actress
and I know,
in Scream 5.
By the way, just a quick note to Scream 5. When we watched Scream 5, I had not seen Scream 4 since it came out in theaters. And I said that was a mistake because when I watched Scream 5, I was like, oh, well, I liked it better than Scream 4. I would like to retract that statement because I watched Scream 4 again.
Fact check.
And that movie, with the exception of like the weird like Hollywood filter soap opera that they had throughout that entire movie, that movie was way better than Scream 5. And yeah, Jenna Ortega should have been the lead in Scream 5. I think she's a great actress.
She was way better than the main actress.
She was better than the sister.
Yeah, the sister, the main girl, yeah.
And I think that was a great way in this movie because, you know, spoilers for X at least because like there's not a ton to spoil for men because it's just like a standard.
There's really not much to spoil for X either.
Yeah, like people die.
The old farts are killers.
Yeah, the old farts are killers. But you can kind of get that from the, you know, fucking trailer.
Yeah.
Jenna Ortega isn't the final girl. And you expect her to be because she's the religious one. She's the mousy one. Mm-hmm. She's the one who doesn't give it up until way later in the movie.
Yeah, she gets corrupted.
She sure does. Mm-hmm. But she gets corrupted because of like Mia Goth's character. Mm-hmm. And like, so there's like kind of like everybody's paired off. Mia Goth is paired off with the porn movie director. Mm-hmm. And Kid Cudi and Brittany Snow are sort of paired off. I don't know if they're necessarily a couple, but they're definitely like their main fuck buddies.
They're like a porn couple. Like they obviously filmed in the past together, if I remember correctly. But I think, they're definitely like fuck buddies for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're, I mean, I don't remember. It's been a while since we've seen the movie, but.
But they're like the main ones who always, like they sleep together in the same bed when they're staying at the place.
They're probably a couple, you know.
So the director,
they have aspirations for like big time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I called Mia Goth's person the director. He's not the director. He's the like producer, you know, the investor, the main investor in the movie. The director is the one dating Jenna Ortega.
He's like the photographer, the filmographer.
Yeah, he's the one filming everything, and he wants to make an art film mm-hmm. out of porn, right? And I really enjoyed every character and how the characters changed throughout the movie. But yeah, why don't you describe the...
Yeah, I'll read the...
synopsis.
Synopsis. So in 1979, a group
Don't do that.
Oh, but I like doing that. Fine, fine. In 1979, a group of young filmmakers set out to make an adult film in rural Texas. But when their reclusive elderly hosts catch them in the act, the cast find themselves fighting for their lives. So, what did I like and what did I dislike about this movie?
Go ahead.
I dislike the old people being the killers.
okay.
Yeah. No, because... Well, no, you know what I really dislike about this movie? The old people banging. That was uncomfortable.
Well, sex is a big theme in this movie, and so is age, so...
Yeah. It's... yeah, it was a little uncomfortable. But I guess all that's right. What it's supposed to be.
It's technically supposed to make you a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, big success. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the movie. I definitely digged the whole 70s, like, sexploitation horror.
Loved it.
Loved the atmosphere and environment and everything like that.
Atmosphere, that's the fucking word I was looking for.
Atmosphere. Yeah, environment.
Now atmosphere. We have to record everything again.
No, I think we're okay. can we just like edit the word in?
Yeah, it's fine. Go ahead.
That might be a little different. That'd be like, yeah, everything. Atmosphere. so I just totally dug the feel of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many T. West films I've seen.
Ty
West, my bad.
I think you've seen a few of them.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned one in a previous podcast, The Sacrament, I want to say.
Oh, yeah, that one. That sucked. Yeah, that was a stupid
That was like the Jim Jones one or something.
Jim Jones? No, that was the one with the...
Not Aaron Eckhart. That's The Ritual or something.
No, The Ritual is The Ritual is a good film. No, The Sacrament was... Oh, no, wait. The Sacrament is the good one. That's the one with the... Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, fuck. That's the... What's the ones where they go around with the camera in their hands?
It's a mockumentary.
Yeah, mockumentary, yeah.
But it's about, like, the Jim Jones cult. The Jim Jones,
yes. I'm like, wait. Cult. Yeah, I always get that one confused with the Aaron Eckhart one. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, that was actually a great movie.
The House of the Devil, which we fucking loved, which is another... Yes. Like, it feels like it was filmed in the 70s.
Yeah. He's got a thing for that.
Yeah.
I think those are the two. Yeah, I don't know why I always confuse The Sacrament with that Aaron Eckhart one. I don't know. What's the Aaron Eckhart movie called?
I don't even know.
Yeah. I got to get that out of my mind.
Yeah.
Maybe because I hated that movie so much.
Maybe easy to talk about how much you disliked it.
Yeah, I did that for like a 31 Days of Horror, and then it like ruined my month. yeah, no, I really liked The Sacrament and House of the Devil. Sorry, Ty West. my apologies. I'm going to punch myself in the stomach now.
No, don't do it.
Okay. Yeah, like just the whole atmosphere.
Oh, he did that segment in VHS. Oh, that's creepy. Second Honeymoon.
I don't remember VHS.
I remember a lot of VHS. There was a lot of good segments in it.
I haven't seen VHS since it came out.
VHS has some of the better directors, too. It has the guys that did Your Next. It had the...
I loved Your Next.
Yeah, it had, you know, these...
I unfortunately saw the new VHS, which I did not like at all.
Like 1994 or something?
Yeah.
VHS 94?
Yeah. It was all right.
All right, let's go back to X.
Anyway. yeah, my biggest problem was like, how do these people not realize... Like, that's always my issue with like certain horror movies. Come on, man. Like...
So here's where I disagree. I liked... and again, I think we're opposite ends with men and X... are concerned. I thought everything in this movie was great. I thought the fact that the old people were killers was awesome. Because how often do you see old people as murderers? Like realistically,
people in the States? Well, they weren't.
But
old,
they weren't old. They were an older couple, but they weren't old. These people are fucking geriatrics.
Yeah.
Like they're much much older. But it also
it definitely has the element of surprise on people. They wouldn't.
That's my point.
Expect it.
Right. They say, oh, it's a, you know, when he comes and he like gives a dirty look to Mia Goth and he's looking at all of them and he's like, I don't like any of you. You know, the producer, which what the fuck is his name? Mia Goth's boyfriend over there, the one from he's like, don't worry, his dick hasn't worked in years. He's not going to do anything. Like, there's an expectation that they're old.
Martin Henderson.
His name is Wayne in the movie?
Mia Goth, yeah, Wayne. Yeah, Lauren Henderson.
Okay. Yeah, and then Maxine. Mm-hmm. So Maxine and Wayne, she's worried because he's giving her like weird looks, and then
because they don't know they're actually filming a pornography
movie
on the set.
Didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wayne didn't tell the landowner again with landowners,
which has everyone like a little upset about it. Like they don't know that they're doing.
But he even says it's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. Mm-hmm. He kind of like spouts out a lot of one-liners like that through the movie, with the exception of "Feel my dick, it's so hard."
But he, like the film had like comedy in it too. Like
it did have funny moments.
I was laughing throughout it, and
yeah, mostly from Wayne and mostly from like Brittany Snow's like back and forth with Kid Cudi and. Again, I can't stress enough.
Like Southern accent, you know, like she was
so cute. She was great.
She was great.
And she was the saddest death in the movie for me.
I don't remember how she died.
She gets eaten by the alligator.
Oh, the alligator. That
mm-hmm. bitch Pearl pushes her
into it. Yeah.
Throughout the movie.
And she's very, what I enjoyed though was like the jealousy of the elder couple
of the younger kids, right?
The younger
you're
kids.
Wasting your life, you don't deserve youth, I deserve it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that should be me. I didn't have the life I think I deserved, which a lot of the times is, and that's another great like running thread of this movie. So it's not just about like sex, and it's not just about horror, and it's not just about age. It's feeling like you didn't get the life you deserved. And how different people handle that.
Though we know a prequel is coming to this movie,
which I can't wait for.
Yeah, no, I'm actually excited about it. But it makes you wonder, like she says to them, like you don't deserve like your youth, and she thinks
this is Pearl. This is Pearl, the wife of the old man
who is played by
Mia Goth. I was just looking at the name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's obviously Mia Goth playing two characters.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't realize it right away either in the movie. Spoilers, but you don't realize it right away in the movie that it's Mia Goth playing both characters, and it's just like it's a very subtle, and it kind of gives you that very like Twilight Zone-ish feel where you're like something's off. And she's obsessed with Pearl is obsessed with Maxine, Mia Goth, young and
her sexuality
and she's constantly being told she's got the X factor, she's got the it factor, she's gonna be a star, so much so that when she's fucking Kid Cudi it influences Jenna Ortega, who's like, again, you know, Wayne calls her church mouse because she's quiet and she doesn't know why they're filming a porn. I didn't know you were doing this, like very like sweet, very quiet. She wants to be in the film because she wants to.
She's literally influenced.
She's influenced by their time together because she's such a like a dynamo, and you know it's a very sex positive movie, which is weird for horror in general because every time a character is sexualized or has sex, it's portrayed like as look what they got because they got killed, but it still manages to be that still happens. No, it still happens. But it feels significantly different than like Friday the 13th where this couple had sex, stab. This couple, you know, went off to the woods to do it, you know, machete. Like,
I mean, I still like, in a way though, it does still like in a way follow the tropes of classic horror, right? You but fuck and you die.
Yeah, but it also makes you, feel like that's not it's definitely not the reason they're being killed.
No, it
may be the reason but it's because of the jealousy of them being able to do that, not that they are doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like it's
because it's an older couple doing it who haven't themselves done it in a very long time.
It's so funny though, in a way though, their sexuality influences the older couple to do it also.
Well, right? Especially Pearl, because Pearl wants to get down and dirty, even with her own husband. But he's like, nah, my fucking heart's going to give out. I can't. We can't do that, right? So she takes out her energy on her first victim after after everybody fucks Kid Cudi, which, and again, he's so good in the movie. Like, everybody's just so good.
I like when he calls the old man Grandpa. Right? Yeah, he's like, you need help, Grandpa?
Yeah, and he's like an ex-Marine, and he's like kind.
You feel terrible for him when he gets
There's no bad character. Like, maybe Wayne is kind of like shitty a little bit just because he's, you know, he kind of lied and he's, you know, he's 42 and left his wife for like, you know, a 20 something year old to put her in porn. But mm-hmm. it's, you know,
but he wants everyone to succeed and he wants it big time for everyone. He's willing to take everyone along with him. So
yeah, he's, you know? And he sees something special in Mia Goth and he wants mm-hmm. everybody to be involved, which I get, mm-hmm. but there has to be some, you know, this is not his first attempt either. Yeah. So he's done this before.
There's obviously people he's left behind.
Yeah.
And he's probably willing to leave people behind if he had to, but at the time he's willing to take them all along with him. But yeah, I did, like I said, I enjoyed the movie overall. I had some problems with the, but what I will appreciate is that it wasn't your stereotypical killers.
Yeah.
So that I will appreciate.
Not the stereotypical final girl.
No. You're like.
You're expecting Jenna Ortega to live.
But she gets off. And it's funny, right? Because then she's influenced by Mia Goth. But then I think she blames her for the position she's in, mm-hmm. and it costs her.
Which is an interesting, actually, that's a really good point. Cause now I'm thinking, is her character maybe like in like the universe of X, right? Is, you know, personal accountability and personal responsibility one of the reasons she ends up getting killed?
Yeah.
Cause Mia Goth is fully aware of her actions throughout the entire movie. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing. She wants to fuck this 42-year-old man who mm-hmm. will get her to be a star. And she believes mm-hmm. that. And she believes she's a goddamn sex symbol. She says mm-hmm. that a few times in the movie.
Yeah.
And then you have characters like, I mean, granted, not Kid Cudi or Brittany Snow, cause they were just fantastic and they're my babies and nothing should have happened to them. But those were the two saddest deaths in the movie.
They were like, I don't want to say innocent, but they were innocent. Right?
But right. They were like sweet to each other, yes, and they loved each other.
And they were sweet to everybody.
And they were sweet to everyone. Mm-hmm. But like, those were the two saddest, but like the boyfriend gets mad at everyone when his girlfriend wants to be part of the movie, right? Because he's okay with shooting a porno and telling his girlfriend, don't be such a prude. But when she wants to partake, then it's like, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to see you fucking another guy.
He's ready to leave the...
He does leave. Yeah. He fucking leaves. He abandons them. And then, you know, Jenna Ortega, the second she has a chance to escape, she takes a few extra minutes to tell Mia Goth, this is all your fault. I should have never listened to you. I should have just, you know, whatever.
Even though she's warning her not to go out there or what.
Yeah.
Right?
They're supposed to escape together, but mm-hmm. she ends up running in the opposite direction and gets killed, right? She gets shot. Wayne is just kind of like he blames everybody else for like the first movie not working. Oh no, it was the taxes. Oh no, it's, mm-hmm. you know, like, and it's just Mia Goth seems to be the only person fully in control of what she wants and what mm-hmm. she's doing. And isn't the nicest person either.
No.
And I kind of appreciate that too, because I feel like so often we get like,
the final girl is the good girl.
The final girl is the good girl. It kind of reminds me of Revenge a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the main character is not innocent. She is not like, oh, she's a fucking brain surgeon. Mm-hmm. She's a doctor. She's good. She donates
innocent.
To charity.
Yeah, she's
in it.
Sexual.
She's not sexual in any way. This girl is a little mean, fucking pumped full of drugs, mm-hmm. fucks on the regular, and is just like ready for her like spot in the limelight. And you don't hate her, not by any means. You just know that she wants to be a star, and she's still likable in a lot of ways.
The girl in Revenge wanted to be a star too.
The girl in Revenge wanted to be a star yeah. too. So mm-hmm. you kind of get this feel of like she's ready. And she's ready to embrace who she is as a person. And I guess because of that confidence, you can't help but like her.
She's also ready to kill, too.
Fuck yeah. And she sure does.
Yeah. But, I really don't have much else to say. I don't want to say it's, I feel like men's obviously more, like...
If I have a complaint mm-hmm. about the movie, I will complain about one thing.
Go ahead.
How the movie starts and how the movie opens is the same way. Okay, so it's cops looking at us. It's essentially very Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's cops on the scene already, and then it flashes back to a few days earlier, and then it ends with it's a meta moment, but it's almost too silly, where they find the video camera, and they're like, "What do you think's on this?" And he's like, the main cop is like, "I think it's the scariest damn movie we've ever seen," mm-hmm. and it's like, all right. Yeah. Was that necessary?
And you, I also like that. The other thing, like, I kind of liked is that, you know, Pearl was, I guess at some point, like, they were serial killers because she's obviously done this killing before.
Yeah, they find other bodies. They find other things.
So people who have come to the property have been murdered over time. They've kept their things. So
a lot of good references in the movie. Yeah. Texas Chainsaw, Psycho, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, Ty West just, like, put a bunch of things together from different movies and made it all kind of
stick. I wouldn't say he took necessarily from these movies, but they're definitely, like, nice homages.
Yeah, he's been influenced by a number of different films from, like, different types of horror genres, I feel. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, the genre of horror, but you do have, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, obviously, right? And then you have Psycho, which is, you know,
a little more suspense, horror.
Right. So, and I appreciate that. And I am really looking forward to
Pearl. Yeah.
I am. And not just for the possibility of nudity. Yeah. I'm not like a typical man.
I gotta say, Mia Goth is, she definitely does have the, like, X factor. Like, I found myself, the more I thought about the movie, the more I liked her. I mean, don't get me wrong, Brittany Snow and Kid Cudi are still my favorite, but.
Of course.
But no, she definitely had something else. And I know she's been in, like, Importance of, like, Wellness of Being or something like that. But
she's also in Suspiria.
Right. That's right.
I haven't seen the new one, right?
I haven't. I made the mistake of trying to watch that, like, at night when I was ready to go to sleep.
No, you have to watch the remake.
And
you
hear the remakes. But I liked the original. And all I keep hearing is how the remake is essentially a better story because the original was very much just, like, you know,
one was style
over substance.
Over substance, yes. And the original was, like, all style, you know, and it was.
I also love Dakota Johnson.
Yes. But Dakota Johnson's not really a major.
She's not in the new one, Dakota Johnson?
Yeah.
The redhead. She's not a major part of the movie?
She's a major part, but she's not, like, in it that much.
Really?
No, Tilda Swinton is the major part.
Okay,
of it.
Yeah. That's very surprising. Okay, yeah. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I would actually
You have to, but, like, I mean, I was so shocked and impressed on how much I enjoyed Suspiria, the new one. And I'm very mad that I can't get my hands on, like, a 4K of it.
Hmm.
Like, they're all foreign releases, like, of certain movies that you can't get here, which fucking infuriates me.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, like, we're talking about X because I had to buy a 4K of it on German media 4K, which now, literally after I bought that a few weeks ago, there's going to be a US release of it, but whatever.
I would like to say one thing, and this goes for both of these movies, Men and X. I was going to say X-Men.
They're both A24.
That's true. I
totally forgot to mention
that. Yeah, that's true. But the reason I want to mention both of them is, and I can't stress this enough, they're not fucking reboots. They're not rehashes. Nope. They're not sequels. They're not requels. They're not any of that. And I can't tell you enough how much, anytime a movie comes out where it's not based on an already existing property that has been fucking remade to death, I want to give it a chance. I even watched that movie Fresh. With Sebastian Stan.
The one with the supermarket?
Yes.
I haven't watched it.
He hasn't watched it, so he has no idea what it's about. So I'm not going to ruin it. But it's another one of those movies. And, like, was it fantastic? No, but it was a fun little horror movie that I genuinely liked. And, you know, there's a lot to like about it. There's some stuff that I wasn't crazy about. But realistically, it's just, I will always, and I feel like this is something that maybe a lot of our audience can get behind, I will always go and see a new original work. X was great. Men may not have been my cup of tea.
There was another movie called X.
Yeah, but I've read the synopsis. Yeah, it's not the same thing, right?
You know what's a horror? You know what's horror right now?
Well,
to me, the remake in Quantum Leap.
Can we not?
Well, it's not really.
I know.
I think it's a requel. Which, by the way, can I say, I really hated that in Scream 5, all that requel talk and stuff. And I'm in agreement with you. I think it should have been the brother-sister of
Yeah, so we were talking about it not too long ago, and I said, you know, if you wanted to subvert someone's expectations, you wouldn't have made it the new boyfriend and the, you know, the friend of the of the main girl who gets stabbed, right? One, both of, like, one's super tall and thin and, like, obvious, and then the other one's, like, short, and you can't even believe how...
Which just doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. The fact that she took down Dewey, right? Like...
She took down Dewey. Yeah,
she like manhandled. Fuck like, that on, noise. Come on.
I'm sorry, and but no.
I know he shot her. She's wearing a bulletproof vest, but like, come on.
Like, it just, it bothers. Yeah, it bothered the shit out of me. She was able to
like brawl with him. Like,
yeah, she was able to get him in the back and in the stomach.
And then meanwhile, like, no offense, like, Jenna Ortega was able to take down whichever one it was. Like, kick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
it was probably her friend.
It was probably a friend, you know, but then like, Dewey can't manhandle a 5'2" girl, like, come on.
Yeah.
I know it's the movies. I know it's a horror movie, but like, and I'm sorry, Dewey should have survived and Courtney Cox should have been killed.
Or at the very least, she was like useless. Or at the very least, be like, get an actress who's the same height as the boyfriend.
Yeah, it's Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Not Randy. Yeah.
Is it Randy?
Randy Quaid?
Yeah. That's the son of Dennis and Meg Ryan.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it just...
It wasn't good.
No, and the more... I watched it a second time recently with my partner, and she was just like... She didn't really dig it. And like, I watched it a second time, and like, I didn't like it that much. Like, I thought it was okay, right? But watching it a second time, I just really disliked it. And I really think we should do a 1-5 Scream.
I'd maybe be fine with that.
When Scream 6 comes out, we can do a crazy...
And then do just one on 6?
Yeah, we'll do... Yeah, so we'll do a 1-5 watch, and then we'll... You could do like a podcast on all five.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. My theory was that it should have been the twin brother and sister. One, how often do you see brother and sister murderers?
Like, I don't think it's that often.
Like, it's not that often.
I'm sure it's happened.
So if you wanted to subvert expectation, that would have been a really good way to do it. Mm-hmm. You have one who's connected to the family.
And the sister's tall.
The sister's tall too, right? The sister's tall. Mm-hmm. She's also not like, and no like offense to the actress. She's a beautiful girl. Like, she's not fucking wafer thin like the killer here.
Yeah.
They're
the children of educated horror who's the uncle? Randy.
Yeah, right. Randy. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my, you know, you didn't save our uncle.
Yeah.
Like, you could have saved him and you didn't, and that turned us crazy. You know, like, there's much you can do.
They're just obsessed
with his murder. Yeah. They wanted to be there. There really could have been a lot of good from that.
Yeah, didn't they live in the house that the murders happened in? Isn't that where it was taking place at the end of 5?
No, it wasn't that house. They were in Stu's house, but that's Stu's friend's house.
Stu's house. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what other recent horror movie I watched that sucked?
One.
The Cellar. With
Alicia Cuthbert.
Alicia Cuthbert, 24, and Girl Next Door. Mm. I like Girl Next Door. Yeah. The movie sucked.
We're kind of flailing here.
No, but
we should probably cut out this end piece.
No, we could talk about it. I'm mentioning, did you see any other horror movies? The Cellar was terrible, but had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
You know, like, it had a...
I'm trying to think if I've seen any other horror recently.
The one thing I liked about The Cellar was it's Lucio Fulci's like ending, you know, that it was like The Beyond. Like,
yeah, if you've seen The Beyond, you know how The Cellar ends.
Yeah, yeah. it like the no hope type thing and hellish dimension type thingamajig. But the movie, just bad writing, bad script, I guess. The acting was poor, you know, everybody just sucked. The little boy was good, you know, the sister was terrible, the mom, like... Everything's just... I hate movies that just... Hey, we don't know how to make this work, so just... Here, just put them there and just write it. Don't worry about it.
To go back to the movies we were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can wrap it up.
We'll wrap it up,
We'll do a roundabout. X and Men both take place in a situation that, while it might be like a little bit over the top, still makes sense, right? Do you believe that people shooting a porn on a shoestring budget would, you know, rent a property in Texas and not tell the owner? And it's the 70s, so things are still a little hush hush. And I loved the sex positivity in that movie too, like Brittany Snow, like not letting anyone shame her, and you know, it was just fun and interesting and a really great way to see the perspective on sex that a lot of times we don't see in horror movies. And Men worked too, because do I believe that a woman who just went through a fucking probably like the complete deterioration of her marriage and then and the life. Trauma yeah. and life and mm-hmm. the and seeing her husband kill her, kill himself, even if she was trying to get out of the marriage, that's still not something that you would recover from. So going to a town and then dealing with that trauma anyway.
How many people after like a traumatic experience, like a divorce or even a death, book themselves on a seclusion vacation, right? So yeah. it's real. Like,
yeah. It's real. People mm-hmm. people deal with death and trauma in a lot of different ways. And I just think that both movies, and that's the thing. Any good, I feel like, base point to a grounded horror, because I would say, with the exception of the last 20 minutes of Men,
again,
really? Both movies are grounded, right? For the most part.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think if you're going to go for grounded horror, make it plausible. Yeah.
Put it in secluded areas.
And small towns.
Small towns.
Where people can...
Wait, where, like, the only movie... I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, horror movies that don't take place in secluded areas that work. And, like, the only thing I can think of, like right off the bat of my head is, like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And, like,
Yeah, and, like, right? the Belko experiment.
Yeah, like, things where...
Like, in an apartment building, mm-hmm. so it's not really secluded.
The new Evil Dead is going to be in an apartment building.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. I'm very excited for that.
I can't wait to see The Black Phone.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm not overly excited, but
I'm excited because I read the short story.
Oh, did you? I never read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, do all short stories translate well?
Stand By Me translated pretty well. It was a short story.
Well, then horror.
Doesn't matter. Oh, we're not doing this. We're not going through the whole list. Right. Thank you so much for joining us again, guys. And please tell your friends about us.
Yeah, follow us, right? We're on... Apple Podcast, we're on Hulu.
We're on iTunes. Hulu. We wish. Oh
my, yeah, no, not yet.
Fucking we wish. We'll get
there. We're on Spotify.
Yeah.
We're on Google.
Anchor. All right, but give us a follow, give us a listen. And since we are on iTunes, if you can give us a review, we'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, spread the word. And I think, what did we say we're going to do our next one on?
We don't know yet. Maybe it'll be a surprise.
It could be.
Yeah, but yeah, as
I
always.
I would like to do all three Alex Garland films, but maybe not next. We'll see. Summer's here. We can go to the movies more frequently. Yes. I'm done with school for now. Woo-hoo. So, yay!
But as always, thanks for joining us.
And bye.